Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. I am Dan. I am joined by Hartley, as usual. Hartley, you are the man on the right to answer that one question of the guy who asked, who is the person on the right? Do you have anything you would like to add to being the man on the right?
I don't know.
A couple episodes ago, you were the man on the left.
That's true. That's true. But it seems only when I'm on the right do people say that. So I'll keep the sort of enigmatic identity that maybe I forged up to this point.
Mm. Well, speaking of that identity and what might actually change here in the future, let's talk about. We have two things: the iPhone SE 4 and the Apple Watch X, which would probably just be called Apple Watch 10, just like iPhone 10. And so those, according to what you just said, are probably going to change pretty drastically, or at least that's what the reports are, because like the iPhone SE has, well, it hasn't been the same since it launched. It was based off of the 5, right?
Yes.
And then it became based off of like the 6, 7, 8 style of phones. And then now it looks like it's going to be bumped up all the way to an iPhone 14 type phone. But keep in mind that this probably won't launch this year and probably not next year. So this will make a little bit more sense, because when you're thinking iPhone SE, that's going to look like an iPhone 14. Like, that's pretty new. But by the time it comes out, design might be a couple years old. But Hartley, would you like to take us through some of the things that we can expect on the heavily rumored recently iPhone SE 4. I have to keep that like locked in there. iPhone SE 4. There we go.
So this is a really interesting device, because it seems like the sort of perfect iPhone for a lot of people. And it's taking some elements from a few different devices. So the iPhone 14 seems to be the base of it. So it would have the chassis of the iPhone 14. It would have the notch of the iPhone, well, I suppose of the iPhone 13, the slightly smaller one, an OLED display like the iPhone 14 as well, but with a few features lifted from the iPhone 15, which of course we're expecting to see unveiled in less than a month. And those features would be USB-C, and it would also be the action button, which we're expecting only on the Pro models.
Right.
Not on standard 15s. So by then, the action button will trickle down to the iPhone SE, but it will still retain a single camera on the rear, just like all the iPhone SEs we've had to date. So that would be the main difference between this and the iPhone 14, would be the lack of that ultra-wide camera.
So I have a couple of questions. Number one, and this is for a lot of the people that I've seen, because you wrote this article and I did a video based off of it. And some of the comments that I have seen are like basically commenting on the size. So this is going to be a pretty big size jump from the SE 3 to the 4. And so, I mean, it's not really a question. It's more of an observation. I guess I can make it a question. How do you feel about that? Because I know a lot of people have commented that they don't like that, because that's like their one avenue to get to a smaller phone now that the Mini is gone. This basically puts every iPhone in the lineup at a minimum of 6.1 inches. How do you feel, Hartley, as a smaller phone enthusiast?
I think that the iPhone SE was never really meant to be the answer to small phones. It's coincidence, because it's using older hardware. And in a lot of respects, the iPhone SE 2 and 3 are not that much smaller than, say, an iPhone 14, because they've got the large bezels. So yeah, although they've got a 4.7 inch display,
yeah, 4.7,
it's the footprint is still not that far off a 14. It's bigger than an iPhone 13 mini, at least. So I think the purpose of the SE is just to hit that low price point with old hardware. It's not to actually provide a small screen phone, which is a shame because I would love it if they did. I think it would be...
Let's see. Here's iPhone 14. And here's the SE. Yeah, I mean, it's not that far off. I know. Okay, hold on. My camera. There we go. For those of you who are listening, hop over to YouTube right now and watch this version. And you can see that I am holding as best as I can, honestly. So there's like a very small amount right here. So yeah, you're right. It's basically the same size already. A little bit bigger for an iPhone 14 over the SE. But otherwise, I mean, the footprint isn't that much. But you are, now look at the bezel. I mean, you are expecting to cover more ground in one hand. So the one-handed usability will take a little bit of a hit there. It might not feel much bigger in your hand, but when you're trying to navigate one hand with one hand on the screen, it's going to be a little bit tougher because you're stretching that out from 4.7 to 6.1.
I would love it if they would use the iPhone 13 mini as the base for this device. I think that would... Nice, and it might even keep it a little bit cheaper, but that isn't going to happen.
That was what, 5.5?
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Well, then my next thing is, so it's going to be a bigger phone, and then, like, do we actually think that it's going to launch in 2024? Five? That just seems so long. The last one came out in 2022. Before that, it was 2 years in 2020. So why not 2024?
I suppose there's a few reasons for this, although I agree it's a little bit strange, is we're also expecting this device to be one of the first, if not the first, to contain Apple's custom modem. So at the moment, all iPhones contain a Qualcomm modem.
Yeah.
For cellular connectivity. And Apple has been engineering their own modem. They acquired, I don't know if it was a team from inside Intel or it was based on Intel technology that they acquired to build their own custom modem in the same way that you've got Apple Silicon, in the same way that we know that they're working on their own custom display technology. This would be their own custom modem. So we expect the iPhone SE will have this, but there's been issues with this modem, and that is one of the main issues that has led to this device being delayed. I mean, we have talked about the iPhone SE 4 before, having the design of the iPhone XR, and that device probably would be the one that makes sense right now or would have made sense a year ago. But by the time we get to 2025, that would be far too outdated. So the iPhone 14 kind of makes sense by then.
But why do we have to? Why does this phone have to specifically have this new modem in it? Is what I don't understand. Like, who set that? Is it because of the design?
I honestly
shouldn't
don't know.
Yeah,
there must be a reason why they want it to be in this device. I honestly couldn't say why that would be.
So
I think that part of the other thing that's kind of important to bear in mind is that the iPhone. If this came out right now, or if this came out next year, this device would just steal the sales away from the iPhone 15.
Right. Because of the action button and USB-C. And I mean,
because it's basically an iPhone 15 minus the ultra wide and minus, but with the addition of the action button, right, which is a trade that a lot of people would make for a really low price point. So it's kind of got to wait until the iPhone 16s are out and they're even more different so that this feels like an older device.
Which is why I was really skeptical about that rumor with the action button being included on this until I saw that it wasn't going to launch until 2025, in which case that would make more sense because now the design is a couple years old. The action button has already been around on the 15 Pro. It probably trickled down to the standard 16s in 2024, so no longer makes it something where you would just not buy, you know, for $200 more the 16 and 16 Plus or whatever the second if there is another standard model out there, whatever that one might be. So that does make sense. Or they could just not include the action button, in which case it just becomes an iPhone 14 recycled. And so...
Yeah, with USB-C.
Yeah. I don't see why we need... Why don't they just do that?
I think that that's what they are going to do that now, though. And I think that's the other reason is, right now, if they discount the... So every year, they always keep older iPhone models on sale. So right now, you can buy an iPhone 12, you can buy an iPhone 13 mini, a 13, and you can obviously buy the 14s because they're the current model. When the iPhone 15s come out, if the same thing happens again, the 12 will be discontinued, but you can still buy a 13, a 14, a 14 plus, and then you've got the 15s. So the 14 will still be there at a lower price point. The 13 will still be there at a lower price point. So if they were to introduce this kind of iPhone SE right now.
We're going to get to the Apple Watch. Don't jump ahead.
If they were to release that right now, why wouldn't you just buy, say, an iPhone 13? Okay, you'd get USB-C, but then how does that work in terms of pricing? So there's too much conflict, because it's a bit like the situation they've created with the iPad, where the iPad Air feels weirdly similar to the Pro, but weirdly similar to the entry-level model now as well. And I think if they were to bring out an iPhone SE with the same design as the 13 and 14, and kind of to a large extent the 15, how do you know which model to choose? So for now, if you want a lower cost iPhone over the next year, then the 14 and the 13 will be your choice. Yeah. So you kind of have got an iPhone SE, just a touch more expensive, but with an ultra wide.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think, like, I think the impact of someone hearing, like, oh no, this is the new iPhone SE, as opposed to like, I'll just go buy an old 13 or a 14, just it persuades people into purchasing. So it just makes more sense to just ditch whatever the honestly, they just ditch the 13 this coming year and make it the SE in 2024. And
but they have done this once before. Right. That's the thing. They did this with the iPhone 5C. That's what the iPhone 5C was. They introduced the iPhone 5 in 2012, and then a year later, they unveil the 5S and discontinue the 5. But they just take the 5 and put it in a plastic casing and continue to sell it alongside the 5S. So
genius.
I liked it personally. I liked it. People hate on us. They've left comments saying that we should not be in charge if we like plastic devices. But I'm a big fan of the iPhone 5C.
Well, guess what? I wasn't advocating to be in charge anyways. I do not want that job. Do you think I sit here envying Tim Cook? No. That's not what I want.
No.
I mean, maybe his salary.
I think there's a reason why we don't make these decisions.
No.
I'm just nostalgic for the iPhone 5C. What can I say? Yeah. I understand why if they would have sold the iPhone 5 and the iPhone 5S alongside each other, how many people would have chosen the 5S? Okay, you would have got the fingerprint reader. It's strange to talk about this now, being, you know, over 10 years later. But the difference is where you've got a 64-bit processor, you've got a better camera, and you've got Touch ID, and you've got like a gold color option. But a lot of people would have just gone for the 5. Listen, so if you make that difference with the materials and then you reintroduce it, I think it was a good proposition. So if they were to do that sort of thing now with the 14 and call that the SE, I'd be happy with that.
I think what I've come to realize, and this, I'm not excluding myself from this either. I am 100% in this category. People are very irresponsible, so they don't always make the best financial purchase. They just want whatever is the latest and greatest, and they don't care if it's more expensive for no reason. And not no reason, but like in the grand scheme of things, when you list out the pros and cons, it is kind of no reason to spend that extra $200. This is like we're looking at an iPhone SE and a regular, you know, iPhone, let's just say for this sake, the standard 14, and you're weighing the options. Like for most people, it probably just makes sense to go ahead and grab the SE. But I just, there's something about it. People don't want to, especially when you're financing. Like how prevalent are people like financing through carriers in the UK? like paying monthly. Okay, yeah. So I mean, that's the way it is here. It is probably pretty rare that most people want to buy out their phones, or even can at this point. God, I don't want to spend $1,000 plus like right up front. I just would rather pay monthly for it. It's just, you know, it's a lot of money to like fork over at one time. So I get it. But
that makes it easier to spend more. I think this is why. I mean, look at the sales figures for the iPhone 14 and 14 Plus. They are so low compared to the 14 Pro and 14 Pro Max. I think they account for the 14 Plus is something like 5% of sales. And then I think that the standard 14 is something like 20%. So many customers are just going straight for the Pro models. And that's because I think that the standard iPhone models exist in this weird middle ground where I don't know who wants them because they're still quite expensive. So if you're spending $800 on a phone, why wouldn't you just get, say, the iPhone 13? I mean, even the iPhone 12 is still a decent buy. You know, something like the iPhone 12 Pro, you can get that really quite inexpensively now. And I think that's what a lot more ordinary customers end up doing is they buy a model that's over a year old. So the standard models, I don't really know who they're for. They seem to be made for making up more sales in subsequent years. It seems like the market exists at the low end and the high end, but not that much in the middle.
So what are we thinking on price for this new SE? It's got to be more than $429, right? It's not going to be the same. I've seen something. I don't know where I've seen this, but I feel like I've seen $599 as the price tag. Does that make any sense to you?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything about pricing.
Okay.
But I think you're right that it will be more expensive. And I think that I guess it depends what the iPhone 16s look like. And if they discontinue the 15s, and we've only got the iPhone 16 Pro models, the standard 16s, and then this iPhone SE, then it could argue for a higher price point. What I would note is, I think this is a very compelling device that would be significantly different to the previous generation. And we've just seen that with a different product line, which is the iPad. So we had the entry-level iPad, the ninth generation model, which had existed with the same iPad Air style design that we've had for goodness knows how long. And that was retailing for, was it $329? But the new 10th generation iPad was over $400. Was it $460, something like that? I don't remember exactly.
I feel like it's $499. I can look it up right now.
That is what I wonder if what they would do with this iPhone SE 4, that we could see a similar price jump.
So yeah, it's $329 for the regular 9th gen iPad, which by the way, I think that's the one that everybody should get. And it's $449 for the 10th gen.
So that's a fairly significant difference. And that is just because it is such a complete departure. I mean, between those devices, that's got a lot in common with this iPhone SE, if you think about it.
Yeah,
the upgrade to USB-C, the completely different design, different bezel size, going for an all-display design. There's a lot in common with them. And if that's what Apple did with that device, you can bet that they will increase the price. Also, I mean, let's be honest, by 2025, the iPhone SE will be subject to inflation, considering that they won't have updated it for 3 years. And by then,
so
it's going to just be worth more, isn't it?
That's a $120 price jump. So that would put the $429 iPhone SE currently, and if it gets all this stuff that we're talking about, to $550. So that's the $120 price. Well, that would make, I mean,
or I could just see it for $500. I could see them doing $499.
If they release that next year at this, which they won't, I don't think. But if they, let's just say the action button rumor was not true, but everything else was, and they released this next March, because it's been March over the last two releases, right? March of 2020, March of 2022. If they release this in March of 2024 with everything that we just talked about, basically being an iPhone 13, 14 hybrid with a USB-C port, that's it? At $500? Dude, I would point to literally tell everyone to just get that. Granted, the single camera is probably the only bummer at this point.
I don't, but this is the thing is, but I don't think then, for iPhone SE customers, I don't think they care.
No, you're
and
right.
I actually, I think that especially considering you get the ultra wide, how many people really care about the ultra wide? If you care about the ultra wide, you're buying a pro model. If you're the sort of person that thinks I need an ultra wide camera, you are not in the market for an iPhone SE.
Imagine if they put the 48 megapixel camera on that. That might actually be the perfect phone. Because you don't, you're right. You don't need telephoto. Although it would be nice to be able to do. But again, you're probably right. Those people don't care. But the only thing that I would care out of all that, the only thing that I miss, I don't use the other sensors nearly as much. The only thing I would miss is portrait mode on things that are not, you know, people.
But you may well be able to do that computationally by then.
Yes. And I don't understand. I feel like you can't do that now. Apple is just limiting that as like a, well.
Yeah, I mean, they've done stuff like this before because they did that with software for the portraits themselves with the iPhone XR.
Right, well, but they still don't allow you to take like a picture of your cat or an object, you know. And it's just like, why? But I know you.
By
can
then,
do
they
this.
They will probably allow it. That's why I think this device will be insanely popular because I think that you are either an enthusiast or you are someone that just wants a standard size with an OLED display with USB-C, a decently fast chip, and a single rear camera that's reliable. And a fairly modern design, MagSafe. You know, you get the best of everything you could conceivably want, but none of it is too far. Even the action button is a nice addition. They wouldn't have to have that on there, and it would still be just as compelling.
Right.
I think these will sell stupidly well. I think that this is the sort of iPhone that Apple should have been making for quite a long time at this price point. And this is sort of where I feel that the standard models should have been a little bit closer to this kind of conception, because it's hard to recommend an iPhone to buy right now for just an average person. So, you know, think about, I don't know, maybe your parents or a friend that isn't super into tech and you're trying to recommend a phone for them to buy. Can I recommend an iPhone 14 right now? I mean, regardless of the fact a new one's going to come out, could I recommend a 14 or a 15? No, I definitely couldn't. For an ordinary person, even a 13, you know, that would probably be what I would go to right now. And I would say the average person should get. So, you know, that's basically what this is.
Yeah, my dad, this would be perfect for like someone like my dad. He doesn't really care what phone he has, really. He says he doesn't. And I do mean it, like, or I do believe that he means it. But at the same time, then there are like some complaints like that he has. And I'm like, well, that's because you're using an iPhone 8 Plus in 2023. Like, I'm not shaming you, but like, it's got some deficiencies. And like, the things you're complaining about is because your phone is, what, 7 years old now?
Yeah, it's not even supported anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. We're going to have to get him something ASAP. And this would be, like, I don't want to get him, you know, an iPhone SE right now because that's going to be feeling like a downgrade to him. He doesn't notice performance, you know, stuff right off the bat. I can't sell him on that. Being like, oh, yeah, here's a phone that looks exactly like the one you have now. It's just going to be a lot smaller. And but don't worry. Like, there are improvements. And then he'll be like, okay, show me. And I'll be like, I can't. I can't physically show you how much better the chip is right now. But just trust me, bro. It's fine. Like, it's just not going to. So, like, he'd need to go to, like, a 12 or a 13 to see, like, a meaningful difference. So yeah, that's the iPhone SE. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the iPhone SE?
No, I just wish it was coming sooner.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe it will, but if all of these rumors are true, then it looks like it will not be until 2025. Are we at least thinking March of 2025? Like
you'd
early.
Hope so.
Early,
you'd
right?
Hope so. I
mean, okay, yeah.
There must be a reason why Apple has chosen March previously, because if they released it in September, it would be eclipsed by the new iPhone model. So they have to kind of separate it.
Yeah. And you can't do it in the summer because people are going to be like, well, I'll just wait like 2 more months and the new iPhones come out. So why would I do that? Also, PSA, please do not buy, unless you're 100% sure that you do not want anything that the iPhone 15 and 15 Pros will have to offer, please do not buy an iPhone right now. Please. Just wait.
I'd say don't buy any of them at all because the prices will come down in 3 or 4 weeks. So
just wait. I've seen so many people being like, hey, I just got a new iPhone 14. I'm like, why? No, just wait. Don't do that yet. I don't want you to waste your money. Unless you're like, listen, I need a new phone right now and I cannot wait. Then I guess I get it. But
even then, I'd buy an iPhone SE just to tide you over.
Yeah, that's true. Or get something like used.
So much money.
Just get something used to get you until. All right. Well, speaking of overhauled designs, we've heard this before. Where have we heard this before? And maybe it's because we've talked about this for so long. The Apple Watch getting a complete redesign. Have you heard that before? Should we get John Prosser back on?
I still believe it. I still believe that it was in the works.
Are we sure we like weren't just thinking that it was the Ultra at the time?
No, it was definitely something else.
Okay, well,
from what I've seen, it was something else.
Let's get him back on to talk about the Apple Watch Series 10, which is obviously going to launch, well, we assume will launch next year. And it is rumored to have a pretty large redesign, you know, to celebrate the 10th anniversary. Apple did this with the iPhone. Obviously, the iPhone 10 had a big redesign. And so we're expecting the same thing here, except so hard to talk about a redesign when it comes to a watch. Unless they change the shape, to me, it's not going to be a huge redesign. I mean, I'm sure I'll take that comment back when I actually see what they're doing, but it's just so hard for me to imagine what that could be. Like when we say, oh, there's going to be a thinner body, like that, okay, that's cool. But like, is that going to be that drastically different compared to just like going from a square to a circle watch?
Well, they've got four axes to play with here because, you know, they can also make it
a triangle. Make it a triangle.
Yeah. they could do anything to this design. I think that if you were just think of it like this, before we knew the Apple Watch even existed and people just imagined what it could look like, you can type it in on Google Images and look at, you know, iWatch concepts from 2012.
Well, let's do that.
And none of them look like what we got. They all are like wraparound bands, or they look a little bit more like an iPod Shuffle, or they've got flat edges. Some of them look a little bit more like a traditional watch. Of course, it could go round. It could be more like it could be more curved over the wrist. I think there's any number of things to do.
Some of these are so bad. Oh, if you want a good laugh, I would highly recommend going and doing what Hartley just said. Just type in iWatch concepts. There are so many
terrible designs. No offense
to these people, but these, like, in retrospect, these look bad. But actually, that one's not too bad.
It's what we expected, though. It's kind of what we expected. It's the same thing when you look back at old iPhone concepts. Like, if you type, like, iPhone 5 concept long before it came out, it's the same thing where people were anticipating major changes, the likes of which we still haven't even had.
Screened phone right here that I'm seeing.
Yeah. And, you know, this is how we lived back in 2012. So the point I'm making is that I think that because the Apple Watch has been the same for so long, it's hard for us to imagine how it could be different. But I'm sure it can be, because it's a very curvy device right now, but they could make it curvier. You know, they could make it round. They can curve the display over the sides of the device. They can curve the display in multiple directions, or only left to right or top to bottom. They can make the display more convex as well. So they could completely change just how it even feels to navigate the watch, or just have gestures if they change that display. So there's so much they can do. Even with the Ultra, people didn't really even know what to expect from the Apple Watch Ultra. But that is something completely different as well.
Yeah, it is. I always, like, at first glance being like, this is not that different. And then I look at it and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's that, you know, the action button. And then, like, these things are housed in a casing. And, like, oh, this chamfered edges. Yeah, okay, no, this is pretty different. It's like, it is drastically different than what we're used to, even though it's the same shape. So I guess this is a prime example of, if you're having a hard time thinking what it's going to look like, and I guess I'm speaking to myself here, look down at the Apple Watch Ultra and see, like, oh, look, they can come up with different designs based off of the same familiar concept. I guess I just really want a round Apple Watch. All of the concepts that I just saw, just looking at them, all the best ones were round. Yeah. I just want to see what it would look like. I think it would be so good.
Yeah, I'd love a round one. Yeah. I think it's time, though. I think the Apple Watch, it obviously has a more timeless design than other devices because there is less to play with than there is, say, with an iPhone, where they can do more with materials and they're thinking about the back of the device and they're thinking about what the cameras look like and the buttons and this all that sort of thing. But if I was to have a guess of what this device would look like, I think it would still have a curved display at the edges. It would not have a flat display like the Apple Watch Ultra, because that's too distinctive to the Apple Watch at this point. In the same way that Apple relies on these little design touches that remain the same to keep a product distinctive, like the notch, like the dynamic island now, like the home bar is on the display, like the triple camera setup on the back of an iPhone, and like the home button years ago. All this stuff is distinctive, and I think the Apple Watch's version of that is that curved display, and that is one thing that makes the Ultra look aggressive in the way the standard watch doesn't. Would be the crown guard, because that provides a little bit more internal space. So that would serve a practical purpose, and it would be something that is definitely visually different. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more curves and the display glass curving even more over the sides of the device to give it more of a kind of waterfall display, if you like some Android devices. But then with the crown guard, perhaps, would be
What if we were to get rid of the crown?
Ooh.
How would you feel about that?
I wouldn't like it because I'm a big fan of the crown, but it wouldn't surprise me if they eventually did it for something like the Apple Watch SE to make it feel cheaper. And, you know, you're still getting an Apple Watch experience, but you're just losing one way of navigating. I mean, on the AirPods, the crown is a regarded as a premium feature, the digital crown. It's exclusive to the AirPods Max also, even though theoretically you could still have a digital crown on, say, the AirPods Pro, theoretically.
Well, on the AirPods Pro?
Yeah, theoretically.
Like on the bottom?
Yeah, or on the side, like a little turnable crown.
That would look terrible.
It would look terrible, but I'm saying that I think Apple regards the digital crown to be, you know, even say on Vision Pro, like they regard it to be a pro feature.
But like that has useful functionality. Like everything on the Apple Watch, for the most part, I could just do with like swiping on the screen. So like it's not essential. Like to the AirPods Max, I think of it as essential because it helps me. It's really the main useful part of it is volume. I mean, what else do you really need it for? I mean, you can transfer over the isn't that the one that uses to switch between transparency and ANC?
No, you use the other button for that.
Yeah, so then there you go. See, I don't even remember what buttons it is. So it's just volume. And then for the Vision Pro, that's to go between like immersiveness and I don't remember what the click-in feature was. That to take photos?
That's to go home.
To go home. Okay, so it has some usefulness there. And I guess technically this is to kind of go home here or to get to your apps, but like you don't need it. You just scroll all the way down if you really need to get to your apps, like I just did. It's a little bit longer, but not much. And they'll have to figure out a different way to go back, though. Maybe like a swipe like we're used to from left to right. I don't know.
I think they'll keep it because when they introduced the Apple Watch, the reason they gave for the digital crown was that because the display is so small, and remember the Apple Watch when it was introduced, the displays were much smaller. Your finger covers basically the whole display. So if I want to scroll through my messages or my emails and I actually want to see what's on the screen, I'd have to remove my finger to be able to see what is on the screen, which is a bit of a clunky experience. Whereas with the crown, I can smoothly scroll through and see information constantly. And considering that watchOS 10, the whole way that you scroll past the watch face and then you scroll through widgets and then you eventually get to the list of apps, and even that then scrolls, scrolling is important. Even WatchOS 10 as a whole, in terms of being inside apps, it's all scrolling based. So I'm pretty sure the digital crown is here to stay.
I was just trying to get spicy with removing it, but
there is something spicy with it.
Or it would make the most sense to keep it. Not the most sense. It would just look so good. I'm still stuck on the circular watch. Apple Watch, clean with just the crown. No other buttons. You don't need another button. Let the crown be a multifunctional thing. And I think that would look so clean. And, you know, honestly, I do like Samsung's implementation on the Classic, where you can rotate the bezel around that. That's pretty cool. I don't think Apple would ever do anything like that if they did have a circular watch, but I don't know. What are the odds of them ever going circular on a watch? Is it just never going to happen?
I think it's unlikely. I think if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen with this Apple Watch 10. If it doesn't happen with the Apple Watch 10, I don't think we're ever going to have it.
Well, that's not what the rumors are suggesting. I don't see anything about them being
I don't think they're committed to a design yet. I think this is still just a conception, but it probably is a square display because we have heard a display rumor about it, just come to think of it. We're expecting the smaller model 5% bigger and the bigger model 10% bigger.
Damn you, Ross Young.
Yeah, that'll still be square displays. But the bigger change is watch bands, which are going to be angry about because...
Really? Does anyone really like the way you do it now? I mean, I'm used to it.
You've spent, you know, hundreds of dollars on Apple Watch bands.
Okay, yes. But to be fair, you got 10 years of reusability for your bands. If you're still using bands that are 4 to 10 years old, it's time to get a new band, okay? Buy a new band, get it for this.
But people collect them.
For what?
Well, there's so many. They're released every season. You get all different styles.
I don't know.
It's very easy. It's like if you go to Apple Store and you want a fairly inexpensive purchase, you still want to walk out with something. An Apple Watch band is an easy buy. And
then, irresponsibility. That is irresponsible of you. You don't need anything, Dan. Don't go into the store and come out with something. I'm talking to myself again because I do the same thing.
That is why I sold my Apple Watch band collection. I've just reduced now to 4, which I still consider to be a lot. But if you are into Apple and you are an Apple Watch band, you're an Apple Watch user, I bet you have more than 4 bands.
Oh, I have tons of bands. But the problem is, it's not a problem. I put them in a box and they're just in storage. Like I only cycle through like 2 to 3 bands at maximum. Like that's it. I wear this one every day because it's incredibly comfortable. If I'm going to the Browns game, our main color is brown and orange. I like the orange band that comes with the Apple Watch Ultra. And then if I need something nicer, I'll go the leather or the Milanese. But even then, kind of hurts my wrist hairs. I'm a little baby when that comes to it, and it like yanks on the. But that's it. I mean, I don't need any more than that. And honestly, if you're going to a fancy affair, you probably. This is watch snob in me. You might want to change to a non-smartwatch then at that point, but I understand. I still think an Apple Watch is classy enough. That's what a lot of other smartwatches don't have. I still think it's classy enough to be able to dress up, slap a different band on there, and you can wear it to a fancy affair if you need to.
I think it depends. It depends on the band you're using. It depends on the watch you're using.
All right. I think if you can go to a leather or a stainless steel type thing, something a little more up there.
If you've got like a product red Apple Watch and you've got a bright color, that's never going to be enough, unfortunately.
Unless, hey man, what if your suit is product red? You're just, you know?
Well, you got
Do they make product red suits? That'd be cool.
I don't know. I don't even know how many other product red things you can even buy.
Oh,
I know
there are. Yeah, there are way more things than you think there are. And they're not like, I don't think they're all technology either. I think there are some clothing related items, hats or shoes or something like that. I could be wrong, but I feel like I saw this and it kind of blew my mind. I thought it was only just like tech items and honestly, mostly just Apple. But no, it's got its whole thing. I mean, it makes sense. It's for charity, but yeah. So I don't know. I think that the band system, I'm not trying to, you know, I would like to be there with the pitchfork as well for Apple and say, hey, this is ridiculous. But I feel like 10 years of reusability for your bands, like, that's not a thing that a lot of companies offer. Even Apple themselves don't give you 10 years. It's not like you're using your cases for 10 years. I mean, we've had largely the same iPhone design, more or less, for the last however many years, 3 to 4 years. And you still have to buy a new case because the buttons are off by millimeters and it doesn't work properly. And so you're lucky to be able to, if you stick with the same size, be able to still use those bands. I have a whole different watch now. It's a completely different watch. And I can still use bands from my Apple Watch 7 and 6 if I wanted to. And it would work totally fine. So I feel like now switching over and having to get more bands, while it sucks, I feel like we've been blessed for the last 10 years.
It's inevitable that it was always going to happen eventually. Yeah. And the argument that Mark Gurman outlined in his piece on this made sense, which is the enclosure that is used in the Apple Watch casing as it stands takes up so much space internally, which could be used for something else like a larger battery, or it could be used for other components.
And I guarantee you the people that are complaining about switching to a different system are probably going to be a little bit like they're going to walk those comments back when they realize, you know, maybe they can get an actual full day's plus use because they have more battery now. I think the trade-off is worth it. You take the battery life any day of the week as opposed to a different band. And by the way, I mean, it's not like Apple, right? I mean, I could be wrong. It's not like Apple is planning to make this change to a different system, and then the next year the system's going to change again, and then the next year the system's going to change. No, it's like it's setting us up for another 10 years maybe of the same bands being useful. And
they're not going to change it to something that's just worse. They will change it for a reason to something better.
Right.
And it might be easier to disconnect bands. And if you find it way easier to switch bands, maybe you will actually use some of those bands that you buy a little more often.
All I'll say is that there's definitely room for improvement, and it is one of the better options in terms of swapping out bands compared to some other watches. But lately, like the Pixel Watch is a little bit not better than the Apple Watch in terms of switching out bands. I don't know how to measure that, but they are getting up there now. They're all competing with each other in terms of like, how can we make this easier? And even Samsung's like improving it constantly. So there's got to be a way. And so this is supposed to be a magnetic option. That sounds easier already, right?
Well, that's one thing that Apple is apparently exploring. Whether it will happen or not, I don't know, because magnets obviously still take up a lot of internal space. And when you get into magnets, it's then a question of they will have to be pretty strong. So I'd like to see some kind of latch used, a little bit like what they've got on the Pixel Watch, which seems to be a very slim connection mechanism. But I think there's got to be some sort of pin or some sort of...
I got one.
Something that closes.
I'm trying to refresh my memory. It's been a while since I've taken this Pixel Watch out. The mechanism was something that they did talk about quite a bit. And now I forget how to do this. Oh, wait. So it's right here. And you kind of just... How do you do this again? You push the... I forget how to do this. See, that's the thing. If you don't do this a lot, you're gonna forget. Oh, there it is. Okay,
yeah, so it?
No, yeah. Kind of. I don't know that I like this. And I'm strictly saying that on a recency bias of the fact that I can't get it to work properly.
Right. Right.
So let's not take that for gospel there, but it is. I remember when I did do this a lot during my testing of it, I was like, yeah, this is great. But now that I'm trying, like picking it up, like imagine giving this to your mom and be like, hey, mom, take this off. It's not as self-explanatory. Neither is the Apple Watch by any means. But I just feel like we've all used one at this point. If you're considering a smartwatch, you probably had one. It's just easier. So then if like your mom has an Apple Watch, then she gets the new one. You know, it's a learning curve, just like anything else. But I hope they make it better and easier. And I'm sure they will. That's the whole point of improving your company. Anyways, keep going, because I'm going to figure this out.
It could also come with some new health features. So it was blood pressure monitoring, apparently, is the feature that is first up. it would seem. And you talked last week about how Samsung has introduced blood pressure monitoring. So definitely that is something that Apple should be competing with at this point. And it looks like that will be the next most thing. Blood glucose also seems possible to me. So we may even get a double whammy and get both, which would be really nice, that we get a redesign, a new band system, larger displays, and new health features.
So here's the thing about Samsung's blood pressure, right? I mean, I know that they stated that it, well, they didn't state, but people have stated that it's probably not the most accurate, but at least it'll give you like a baseline idea. I wanted to test that. I have the Galaxy Watch 6 Classic, and I don't think that feature is on what I would consider its flagship watch. It is the more expensive watch of the two, and I don't think it's on there because I don't see it on there. And then when I tested both of them briefly during the unveiling of it, I noticed that it was a option in the Watch 6, but not on the Classic, and I can't find it anywhere. I feel like that's a strange thing to only limit to like your cheaper option. I need to do more research on this, but I cannot find it anywhere. That.
Yeah.
It could be because it's a little bit of a different design, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, blood pressure monitoring would be great. There's also, what was there? We had another story pop up about Apple trying to add some strain sensors to improve the strength workout tracking.
Yeah, so this is something that they seem to be researching. So this comes from a job listing. So they were hiring for a hardware engineer that will help them build prototypes. And it basically is for the Apple Watch, because the list of features that they provided, the Apple Watch has every single one of them except a strain sensor.
Right.
And it's for their health team. So that seems to be what it's for. And obviously it makes sense in the context of strength workouts, because the Apple Watch is terrible for strength workouts. You can't, at least in the default workout app, you can't record how much you're lifting, or how many times or in how many sets. And it can't tell you how hard you're working. All it does is tell you your heart rate, which is a terrible reflection of how hard you're actually working when it comes to strength training.
Yeah.
So if you have a strain sensor, it actually provides you with useful metrics that could be used. It still could be used, obviously, in conjunction with your heart rate and calorie information, but in a way that is just way more accurate. And if you are into weightlifting and you are into strength training, whether it's functional strength training or traditional strength training, be really useful. And I think it would help the Apple Watch appeal to a little bit of the fitness market that I think Apple's neglected a little bit. I know you can do strength workouts on Fitness Plus, but those strength workouts are not for people that are actually into strength training. They're very casual. They're not actual workout regimens. So I know you can put a plan together with iOS 17 for workouts with Fitness Plus, but it's just Apple basically sort of the way that people actually do strength training, the Apple Watch does not really accommodate for. And even if you use a third-party app, it's not a very good representation of how hard you're actually working. Whereas maybe with the Apple Watch 10 or Apple Watch Series 11, Apple will finally be, or you would finally be able to say to people that are into strength training that the Apple Watch is actually a good solution for their workouts. Because at the moment, it's good to record like how long you've done it.
Yeah,
your
that's
heart
really.
Rate, but, you know, that's all you're going to get from it.
That's all it even says. Like, this isn't really a super accurate, you know, thing. It's just mostly, like you said, going off your heart rate. And so, yeah, I mean, if there's a way to figure that out, especially if it can log reps and somehow figure out the weight, which I don't know how that's possible. You know, that's why I don't think it would
work those things out, but it would. It's like how much effort.
It's got to be able to figure out like reps, right? If I'm moving my arms up and down, like
it should be able to. It should be able to do that, but I don't think it would be able to know how much you were lifting. But it's linked to the, I believe it's linked to the blood pressure monitoring system, so it's based on a similar technology. And in studies, it's been very effective. Based on the wrist, same location, very small sensor. So this definitely seems possible. So we've got at least three sort of health and fitness related things that we maybe can expect in the next 5 years or so, which will be blood pressure, strain monitoring and blood glucose.
Those would be huge things.
And maybe, you know, further in the future, related to blood glucose, you could expect blood alcohol as well to come along with that. And who knows what else? I don't really know where else the Apple Watch goes once it's got all that stuff.
I'd certainly love body temperature sensing because, I don't know. My Oura
that
ring...
could be better.
Yeah.
That could be improved. So you could actually have proper fever detection.
Well, that's...
would be really useful.
As of right now, I'm currently going through that. I don't know. I have some random thing where I've had not a high fever, but just a fever like on and off for the last 2 days. And I don't really know why with no other symptoms. Very strange. So, yeah, I mean, my Oura ring detects that. I would like something like your Apple Watch to be able to tell you that. And not like just like while you sleep, like throughout the day. Like, oh, hey, your body temperature was like 97.5 and now it's 99.5. Like, are you feeling okay? Like, are you good? Like something like that where it checks in with you, like how we're getting checked in on with mindfulness and reflection now coming up and all that stuff. I don't know. Yeah, it would be useful. Or honestly, what I would like is to replace my thermometer at home and figure out a way to hit it and it just instant reads. God, that'd be, I think we talked about this before. That'd be manipulated so hard by kids in high school trying not to go to school.
I wish that they would do it, but yeah. I don't know if it will ever be that precise because of where the temperature is being taken. So it's not going to be very accurate, but it should be able to do fever detection because it should be able to tell based on a baseline.
I think if it was to, like, throughout the day, maybe a couple times a day, it takes your temperature and then stores that data and, like, determines a baseline for you. Like, whenever I do – we have a forehead monitor that – like, thermometer that is – has to be wildly inaccurate compared to others. But it's accurate in the sense that we know what that monitor – like, what that thermometer says. We have a baseline off of that. So for my forehead, it's around 97.3, like all the time. And I know when I'm not feeling right, like I have in this last couple of days, and I'm feeling achy and chilly, like I have a fever, you know, I take it. And if I'm 99, low 100s, like that's significant. That's like 2 degrees higher for me, that there's an issue there. So I can establish that baseline. So if it does that, and then you go to take like your temperature – and it says, hey, you're at 100 and your baseline temperature is 98.5, 98.6 or whatever, well, then you know that there's an issue there. Like, you have metrics to go against. So it doesn't need to be accurate in the sense of, like, this is what your actual body temperature is, but this is what we're reading, and this is what you normally read at. Then you can tell from there whether or not you have a thermometer. Like, I feel like they
could
do
that. I
think
that's how it will be if they go in that direction.
I mean, that's what they're doing. Perfectly. That's what they're doing right now, right, with cycle tracking. They're taking all that data and establishing a baseline.
Yeah, and it's the same with what you get for overnight. So if it could become more frequent, and it would still have to be more accurate because it is still subject to environmental conditions.
Sure.
If they can get that algorithm under control, and maybe with some hardware iteration as well, I'm sure it will get there.
And that's on you. If you're driving and your hand is right here by the window and the sun is just cooking your Apple Watch, and for some reason you go home and take your temperature and it says 104 degrees, but you feel totally fine, just be smart about it and know that that was because of the environment in which your Apple Watch was in. Give it a minute, take it off, make sure it's not hot, and then go from there. This is something that you would want to do, you know, manually when you are not feeling well. I mean, how often are people taking their temperatures when they feel well? Unless you're my wife and I, who are hypochondriacs, you know, that we have to take things with a grain of salt. So you need to be one of those level-headed hypochondriacs, I feel like, to be like, okay, no, I feel fine. Don't worry about your temperature.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what Apple's concerned about, is just turning everyone into a hypochondriac. But
I'm already there, so it's too late.
Yeah, well, I think we've all... slid towards that with Apple Watch use a little bit.
Yeah. But all right. Well, yeah, that's kind of the big news on the Apple Watch right now. We're a little bit over a year in advance with that. And then there were some things about the
Series 9 is so boring.
Well, it's so boring. Even though I got yelled at, and I know you've yelled at me about this with the processor being a big change.
We are allowed to say that the Series 9 is boring because I think it is pretty boring. Well, I think the processor is interesting and overdue, but am I going to go and buy a Series 9? I have a Series 8. Am I going to buy the Series 9 just because of the chip, even though I find that's quite an interesting upgrade? No.
No. That's for the future. That's the future thing. That is not from someone being like, hey, what's the difference between the Apple Watch 8 and 9? Should I upgrade? And if I tell them, oh, yeah, no, the internal chip is better. Your performance is better. They're going to look at me and be like, yeah, I don't care about that. I know we've talked about this before.
If it comes with a couple of other features as well, things that we haven't heard about, like last year, say, there were other things like crash detection. But if there were a handful of other features and you were using a Series 7,
sure,
then you'd be getting the upgrade to the Series 8 as well. So maybe for some people, if your battery's degrading and it's time for an upgrade,
sure,
fine.
Sure. But it's not, it's definitely not, it's, well, the Apple Watch hasn't been a yearly upgrade. And so I'm not going to blame Apple for that. That's not their, it has never been a yearly upgrade product, at least not right now or not anymore. And even if you have the Apple Watch Ultra and you're looking at the new Ultra, unless you really want to go with the, you know, the superficial color change, there's no reason, at least from what I'm gathering right now, there's no reason to upgrade to that either. So yeah, that's all we got. Unless you want to talk about the Apple Watch SE3, which I'm on. I don't really care, but.
Well, there's not much to talk about with it, really. It's just. Yeah.
It's going to have larger probably, display.
So it'll be like the Series 7.
Yeah.
So in the same way that the Apple Watch SE is kind of based on the Series 4.
Yeah, that'll be a good upgrade.
This would be based on the Series 7. Yeah, similar to the iPhone SE4 that we were talking about. I think that an Apple Watch Series 7, but without the always-on display and with a nylon composite back at a low price point, what, like $269, $249? I can't remember how much the SE is. I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
That'd be fine. I can get behind that. All right, well... that wraps up our episode. Guys, we're almost there. We're getting there soon, like a couple weeks-ish, and we'll have a lot more to talk about. and it will be that time to where we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about once we hit September, October, November, and then, So we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.